We are so cluttered with the temporal that we need to be awakened to our true purpose, and that is the eternal. And I want to begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. This is the beginning of a brand new paragraph within this epistle. And I want to read verses 7 through the end of the chapter. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of whom? Us. Now, just let that statement just soak in for just a moment, what you just read. What is God saying here? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, what treasure do we have? We have the treasure of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure that's being referred to here. And the reason for it is that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All right? So who is the eternal here that's emphasized? It's God Himself. Now, we are eternal beings as well. We're going to live somewhere forever. We're either going to live in heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ, the one who has given us this treasure, or we're going to go because of our own choosing and spend all eternity in a devil's hell. That won't be God's fault. You understand that? Because He's eternally changed everything when He sent His Son. You already made your choice in Adam, but you can receive the righteousness of His Son, and on the merits of His righteousness, you can be delivered from your choice, and you can spend all eternity with God. God's satisfied with His Son. And that's the merits upon which the sinner has, but not very many people are interested in that because they don't believe they're sinners. I've spent this week in camp on a theme of rags to riches. I've got a bag of old rags, and over the last few days, we've been going through the Bible. We've retrieved Jeremiah from the miry pit from Dr. Watts' series. We donned on the rags of the Gibeonites that tried to fool Joshua, and did fool him, except there were some consequences that came down on the Gibeonites. They had to be the servants of the Israelites for the rest of eternity. Their lives were spared. But the old rags worked for a little bit. They got their lives spared, but they became servants of the Israelites. And we looked at Isaiah, where it says in chapter 64 that our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. And we've identified over the last 3 days that the rags represent something. And this afternoon, I asked him, I said, all right, how many of you have been here for, this is your third day, and most of them raised their hands. So what does the rag represent? And one of the little girls says, Jesus. I said, Jesus is not the answer to every question that's ever asked. All right, get that in your mind. I've seen Jesus come up on Bible tests, on answers that had nothing to do. Where did sin originate? Jesus. Where did this happen? Jesus. They put that down. Mathematics problems. Science problems, you know, chemical equations. Jesus is the answer. No, I said, that's not what the rags represent. What do the rags represent? Mr. Brainerd, I know, came a whisper out of the third row. And one of the little boys said, it represents sin. And I said, praise the Lord, at least one was listening and got it. We've been talking. I said, we're not even going to get till the riches till Friday, so you got to come back to camp. I've been spending most of my time dealing with the rags. You know why? Because the hardest thing for people to get a hold of today is the fact that they're a dirty, rotten sinner. It's hard to get people. And even people that have come to know Jesus Christ somehow think that they don't have a wicked heart anymore. No, you still have your wicked heart. You've just been redeemed. One of these days, you're going to get the rest of it, and that's a new body, and you're going to be delivered from this body of death and all of its propensities and desires and weaknesses and desire to do something that's wrong. We'll be delivered from that one day. You still have that old heart. But you have a new man that's in charge. That's the glorious picture. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that we've been given a new man. We've been delivered from the old man. It's still there. And if you're not careful, you can let him come back to prominence. But the point is this. We have a tendency to focus almost exclusively on the temporal just because of the nature of living in this world. You think about it. Today, what did I do? I listened to little girls pulling on my sleeve.
Mr. Brainerd, are we going to get to go swimming? I said, do you hear it raining outside?
Hark, I hear thunder. What does that mean?
It means we're not going to get to go swimming for a third day.
She was so hopeful. She had her towel. She had her goggles on. I mean, she was ready to go. I said, honey, we're not doing swimming today. It's thundering. I pulled out my phone, pulled up the weather radar. I said, you see that? I don't know what that is. I said, that red spot right there is Milton. And that red spot is thunder and lightning. We're not swimming. I'm so sorry.
Does that mean I have to go change?
Now, you know what our conversation was totally about? The temporal. 20 years from now, she's not going to care that she missed a day of camp swimming in the pool. It's just a temporal thing, right? I dare say that none of you today thought about something you did 20 years ago that you missed out on. Maybe it was animal crackers. When I was growing up, animal crackers was right up there with root beer. I loved root beer and I loved animal crackers. And they came in the little box with the red cord across the top. All right? Some of you are pretending like you don't know what I'm talking about, but I want to tell you, they were the best tasting things. And when Mom would buy those and she'd put a box in my lunchbox, I thought we were headed to heaven because that was manna as far as I was concerned. But sometimes Mom would come back from the grocery store and she didn't have animal crackers. And I said, surely we've done something wrong. I mean, we've done it now. No animal crackers this week. And, you don't sit around these days. When I get home from camp this week, I don't sit back and say, I just remembered I missed out on my animal crackers 35 years ago on this day. We're not thinking about that. I tell you what I was thinking, man, I'm glad camp's over with for today. You know, I'm going to sit in my little chair and I'm going to kick that lever back and I'm going to relax for a little bit. All right? I've been on my feet all day long. I've answered 1,000 questions. All right? Most of them related to that pool down there. When it rains, it just throws a kink in everything. A child's life comes to a stop. And every adult they see, it's,
Mrs. Dittner, are we going to go swimming today?
Mr. Center, I'm not going to ask him anything. He's going to chase me down and scare me. You know, it's just all day long. There's a little girl down there. I won't say her name because we put this out on the internet. But bless her heart, it started from the time she got here this morning all day long. Are you going to sweep the gym floor today? Can I help? Now, I don't see many 7-year-olds asking to grab a broom and do it, but she does. And she asks on the hour, every hour. What time are you going to be sweeping the gym floor? Well, I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm just trying to get through. It's raining right now. We got another game I got to do. But in her mind, it's broom and dustpan time. Our thoughts almost exclusively every day center around what? The temporal. From the time we get up. You get up in the morning. How many of you have a morning routine that you do every day without fail? All right? It's just something you do. My first thing is hit the snooze button. All right? I about wore mine out. It's got a sensor. It doesn't have an actual button. It's a sensor. And you're supposed to put your hand. That doesn't work anymore. So I have to sit there and press. And by that time, I'm wide awake just trying to get the snooze. But that's my first thing. Then I get up. And I'll walk around a little bit, try to get blood circulating. And then it's my daily chores. I've got to get through all these things and get ready to go to work. We all have those things. Our thoughts are dominated by the temporal all the time. And it's very easy to slip into a mindset that this is all there is. And as I found out over the last couple of days with the passing of Joe, young man, and Ainsley, young girl, that the temporal can easily become the eternal. And we better be ready. When Joe first came down with COVID, big old strapping athletic man, nobody thought that he would pass away. Football player, track and field coach, a man that could lift over 350 pounds over his head without even trying hard. If I get 35, my arms are shaking. And the man would sit there clean, 350 pounds. Nothing for him. He's in heaven right now. How quickly the temporal turns into the eternal. But this passage of Scripture goes much deeper than that. It goes much deeper than that. Notice this, please. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What's he talking about here? He's not talking about temporal things here. He's talking about life in Christ and how that affects my body. Life in Christ and how it affects the way I think about life. That eternal life is not something that begins the moment I die here on this earth. Eternal life begins the moment that Jesus comes to dwell within me. Do I hear an amen? That's when eternal life begins. Why is that such a hard truth for us to gather? Because we're so temporal-minded. Our thoughts are dominated all day long. What are we going to have for supper? Some of you are thinking in 5 minutes it's going to be 8 o'clock and it's snack time. Some of you may not have eaten any supper tonight. I don't know. But I'm sure some of you go home and you have your evening snack and you're thinking about, what am I going to have? What is that? Temporal. Every thought of our time is basically on things that don't last. There are things that are going to pass away. But the Christian is to live differently. Let's move on. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. A melding of the eternal and the material. It's right there in the Scripture. A melding of thinking of the eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is known as the I Am. But it says right here that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what? Mortal body. A joining of the eternal I Am with my mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, and we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, our mortal body is dying, yet, what do we read? The inward man is renewed day by day. What's the inward man? It's talking about the eternal soul that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's being renewed every day. Even though our mortal body is collapsing, it's getting old, you can't do the things you used to do. I tried to crawl down there behind the bleachers today. I thought I was going to be stuck. And I got to call my wife to come extract me from underneath the bleachers. I used to just jump down through those holes. And now I look like trying to get down in there and crawl up underneath there to get the little teeny tiny ball that some child wants me to get. And I think, Lord, if I get out of here, please help me never to do this again. I'm done with this. I'm going to get me a long stick with a hook on it. And that way I can just pull it out that way. Because if I get down in there, I get contorted, it's all over with. So, our mortal body is collapsing, but our inner man is being renewed every day. Notice, please, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's two types of people in this world. You have the saved, and you have the lost. For the most part, the lost are materialists, and the saved are eternalists. There's the big difference. What happens when we start living like there is no eternity? Then we've missed the whole heart of Scripture. Because this is not our home. This is not our home. We're here for a few years and then we're snatched off into eternity. You better know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's been a theme I've been hitting on every day in Bible time. You're going to live somewhere forever. This life right now, you're in camp, you swim, you play in the bounce house. We play games on the floor of the gym. We play Uno. But you know what? One of these days, we're going to grow old. Or maybe we don't make it to grow old. Maybe we slip off into eternity before that time comes. You better be ready. You better know the Lord Jesus Christ. The things which are seen are what? Say it out loud, please. Temporal. They don't last. The things which are not seen are eternal. And the whole emphasis of this passage of Scripture is related to affliction. Understanding that affliction is something that is temporary. It's not eternal for the believer. We're going to get a new body. We're going to be delivered from any kind of sicknesses or illnesses. The Lord's going to wipe away our tears. And we're going to get to rejoice with Him for all eternity, not on our merits, but on the merits of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the eternal I Am. And because of His merits, we're going to be able to live with Him throughout all eternity. But that eternal life, and this is the important thing to see here as we begin this. Eternal life begins the moment you become a believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen when you die. It happens the moment you get saved. So we need to be enjoying eternity while we're believers in Christ. That's the whole point. And yet our lives are so cluttered by the temporal. We're going to look at some things in regard to this study about how we can unclutter our lives. My wife and daughter uncluttered our shed on Saturday. They were not looking forward to it. I was extremely tired from all my duties that I had during the day, so I didn't get to help them very much. I did put on my flip-flops and go out there a couple of times while they were cleaning up, because I can't bear when my wife starts throwing stuff away. I just go, I start doing these contortions, you know, because I've been saving that thing for years. I've never used it, and I probably never will, but it's so hard to get rid of, and she doesn't think a thing about it. It's just, it's gone in the trash, in a black plastic bag. She uncluttered the shed, and you know what's kind of nice now? I can walk in and I don't get hurt. I can walk in and I don't have to fear whether something's going to fall on me, a ladder crash on top of me because we piled 16 items in front of it. And the lawnmower, for the first time in a year and a half, made it all the way to the back. It didn't get stopped in between by all the obstacles. Now, you know what's going to happen if we're not careful? In a year and a half, we're going to be doing this whole thing all over again. And I'm going to be doing, she threw that away. You know, we'll do that. But then it'll be nice again because we have the room uncluttered. But you have to go through that same thing, Christian, all the time. We got to unclutter our lives from the temporal instead of cluttering it all up. Because what happens when something gets cluttered? You become inefficient in life, inefficient spiritually, and you become something that muddies up the works rather than helping. And so we're going to develop this, Lord willing, over the weeks ahead. And hopefully by God's grace, we'll learn some things from God's word. And what Paul is saying here to these Corinthian believers, well, they had some problems, didn't they? They had some big problems because they allowed their lives to be cluttered with the temporal. And they didn't have to. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time spent in prayer tonight. Oh, how we are so needy, and we have so many friends that are needy, that need thy special grace and help and mercy. Lord, undertake for them. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us as we consider this passage of Scripture. We might examine ourselves to see just how cluttered we really are. And help us, Father, by your grace to unclutter our lives and emphasize the things which are eternal. We ask thou your blessing upon our church family. Watch over us, protect us, shield us, dear Father, from the sickness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.